It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me this morning. I have a show which hopefully you'll be interested in. If you listened last week, you knew that I was checking in from the top of Donner Pass on the California-Nevada border, high in the mountains of the High Sierra, on my way into the Central Valley of California to spend some time on waterfowl issues and also understanding a bit more in depth what's going on with California's water and how all this ties in with the upcoming discussions, not only on the Farm Bill, but also the presidential election and how we're going to help hopefully bring together a comprehensive conservation plan that can be discussed in the public arena, which certainly to date has not been. So all that put me high on Donner Pass. And what I'd like to do, at least the start of this morning's show, is talk about what's taking place in the Central Valley of California, which while we're sitting here in Chicago on a spring morning, seems a long way away and may also seem really irrelevant to how we live our everyday lives. And it is irrelevant in a way. However, what's taking place in California is going to be central to much of the conservation discussion in America. In Illinois, we drown in waters. In fact, the head of the Sacramento National Wildlife Conservancy used to be head of the Crab Orchard Lake National Wildlife Refuge here in Illinois. And the first thing he said to me was, you know, in Illinois, we worry about how to get rid of the water. And in California, we worry about how to collect all the water. So for the last 2 years plus, you couldn't really turn off television without having heard something about the wildfires in the West and the water shortage. This is something that's not been just created in the last half dozen years. This has been building for more than a century to where now it has reached a crescendo. And the cost to America, and one of the reasons I really wanted to dig into this in California, is because the cost to all of us in America as taxpayers for solving the water crisis in the American West is going to be enormous. And if we think for one moment that this is an issue that the states will deal with without the federal government and therefore us as taxpayers getting involved in, I think we're mistaken. This is not a California issue. It's not an Arizona issue. It's not an Idaho issue or a Utah issue or a Nevada issue. This is an American issue that we're all going to face consequences and costs from. But for me, and probably for many of you, the issue is not do they have enough water to drink in Los Angeles. We don't live in L.A., and it really, do we really care if they have a lot of water in L.A. to drink, to water their lawns, to do things that we just take for granted here because we have so much water? No, we don't. What we care about is that the natural resources of the Central Valley of California, which is the most critical area on the continent for wintering birds, there is no area in the world, in fact, that had a larger concentration of wintering wetland-dependent birds in the Central Valley of California. It still has the largest concentration of wetland-dependent birds and waterfowl anywhere in the world. So if we are going to have healthy bird populations of wetland-dependent birds, we are going to have to save the Central Valley of California. So this morning, what I want to do is not dive into great detail, but to try to stress that what's going on in California is really relevant to us here in Illinois. If you're listening to me this morning in Michigan, thanks for listening. It's already daylight there, but it's relevant to you too. And if you're listening in Louisiana, it's relevant. And if you're listening up in Regina, Saskatchewan, as I know some of you occasionally do, it's relevant there. We don't think of it in the context of California being relevant to the future of waterfowl and wetland-dependent birds, but it is. It's central to how we're going to manage the future in a place where there simply is not enough water and there's going to be less. And also, we're dealing with endangered species in California, such as the salmon that are running up in the Sacramento River And one of the things that it strikes me is only the government can create these kind of conflicts. What's good for the salmon is not good for waterfowl. Under the Endangered Species Act, they're requiring water to stay in the Sacramento River because salmon need it. And when they require water to stay in the Sacramento River, that means that water cannot be released to go and recharge the wetlands and aquifers of the Central Valley of California, up in the Butte Sink in particular. So that means that the wetlands don't get recharged, which means there's less habitat for waterfowl and other endangered species that are wetland-dependent birds. So we're trading one for the other. And on an economic basis, there's no discussion of what's more valuable. It's a bureaucratic mess. But it is, it's a portrait of what we're going to deal with in America in a landscape where we have too many people and not enough water, at least at this point in time. So in California, 150 years ago, there were over 4 million acres of wetlands in the Central Valley of California. Waterfowl populations were estimated between 10 and 20 million. That's a big spread. But there were 4.5 million acres of wetlands. In California today, there are around 200,000 acres of wetlands left. 95% are gone. Not gone forever, but gone for now. So we've had a 95% reduction in the amount of water in the Central Valley of California, which interestingly is not far off from the amount of wetlands that we have lost in the state of Illinois. In the state of Illinois, it's estimated that we have lost 98% of the wetlands that were here when settlement occurred. Illinois was as much water marshland as it was terra firma. 98% of the wetlands have been lost in Illinois. 98% have been lost in Iowa. 80% have been lost in Minnesota. Over 50% have been lost in the Dakotas. California, 95% have been lost. The difference is that California today has no place to get its water. We could restore wetlands in Illinois quickly if we wanted to. There's a lot of work underway to try to restore wetlands. Our biggest problem in Illinois today is we've had so much drainage that now we have these massive and frequent floods because the water is poured into these rivers at a unnatural rate. In California, the water is going into pipes to go enable waters to be lawns to be watered in Sacramento and San Francisco and people to take showers in L.A. and San Diego. It's a very different situation. But what ties all this together is that without the wetlands that existed, we are headed down the tubes when it comes to protecting the future of waterfowl and wetlands birds and also protecting the future of water quality. The other anomaly in California, quite different than we face here in the Midwest because there is not any rice grown here, is that in California, the rice farmer is actually the best friend of those of us who want to have wetlands and waterfowl. They go hand in hand. It's the only place in the country, with the exception of a little bit of the Arkansas Grand Prairie and the Mississippi Delta in Mississippi. It's the only area in the country today where agricultural interests and conservation interests are deeply aligned. The rice farmers cannot grow rice without water. We can't have wetlands without water. The rice farmers in California have about 500,000 acres of rice being grown in the Central Valley. It is imperative that they have that water during the summer to grow their rice, and then it is equally imperative that they have water in the winter to flood the rice fields after the harvest so that the rice straw can be decomposed. They're no longer allowed to burn in California. If you had been in California 30 years ago, as I was in the Central Valley, come September, October, November, the whole place was a fire, a blaze, and the air pollution was just extraordinarily bad. It was terrible from all the burning. That's how they got rid of the rice straw 25, 30 years ago. And for the previous 100 years before that, they burned it after harvest. All the straw disappeared, and what was left on the ground were all the burnt seeds of the rice that hadn't been harvested. Of course, blackened seeds are like heroin. Not that I would personally know, but blackened seeds are like heroin for birds. A bird will go to a burnt seed over any other form of grain. In California, you had 500,000 acres of burnt rice grass out there with the seeds lying on the ground. And of course, waterfowl went absolutely for those fields. Well, once the ban on fire came in. You could no longer burn because of air pollution, and that made great sense. Now they had no way to get, the farmers had no way to get rid of their rice straw. So they figured out if they put water on those fields in the winter, the waterfowl would still come, and the water would decompose the rice straw, enabling them with fields they could farm the next year. So today in the Central Valley, the key alliance between the farmer and the wetlands and waterfowl conservation interests is they need water. So now after the rice crop is harvested in the fall, they immediately flood it and they leave the water on the land for the next 3 months, where millions and millions of shorebirds, ducks, geese, swans, herons, you name it, live in this 500,000-acre sea of shallow wetlands. It's as close to recreating the original Sacramento Valley, Central Valley of California wetlands ecosystem as we can come to. But today, there's increasing pressure from urban areas to stop that so they can have the water. And they're saying to the rice farmers, you figure out some other way to get rid of your straw. We need the water, which is where conservation and agriculture is coming together, because two very powerful interests now need water in that landscape if we're to maintain the wildlife populations of Central Valley, California, which, of course, throughout the year cover much of the continent. So anyway, that's probably more in depth than we needed to go this morning. But my point of where I'm going is that there's a growing alliance between agriculture and conservation in California, which is an alliance we should look at elsewhere in the country. How do we marry conservation interests with agricultural interests? How do we reduce the nitrogen loads in our rivers that are polluting our waterways and polluting our drinking and killing our fish and creating a hypoxic zone in the Gulf of Mexico? How do we marry those interests with conservation interests, which say we want to have cleaner water, we want to have more abundant wetlands? There's a model in California that could well serve to help save so much of conservation in North America. And aside from that, being in the Central Valley of California in the spring is just one of the great things one can do. It is a spectacular place to see bird life. It's a long way from here, but I can tell you it's very much worth the trip to see those marshes in the spring and see the National Wildlife Refuges with such an abundance of birds. It's a remarkable place. I'll be back in just a bit more on the Great Outdoors Show, and I'm going to talk quickly about the turn of events that's taking place politically nationally. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. First, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here and it's always tough on the road, but when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoor Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and hope you enjoyed that segment on the Central Valley of California, which is certainly relevant to our future and some things that are taking place out there. Relevant to our future, and very much so, is what happened this week in the world of politics. And this is not a political show, as you know, but we like to tie, if we can, political interests together with conservation interests. And I guess what's on my mind this morning, and maybe all of ours, is it looks as though at least the path to the Republican nomination has been cleared, and Donald Trump will be the nominee. We have to ask, where does that leave us, those of us who love the outdoors, love hunting and fishing, and want to see a vibrant future? I've been talking about this on the show for a while. Both on the Democratic side and the Republican side, there has been zero discussion of conservation and natural resources. There's not been a period of time, if you go and look back through the last 25 years of presidential elections, last quarter century, when the word conservation has been mentioned less in a presidential campaign to this point. So somehow, as this moves forward, if we are going to have platforms in the Democratic and Republican parties, if we're going to have platforms that enable us to work on soil quality, air quality, water quality, the future of hunting and fishing. This is not about the NRA and guns and the right to hunt guns. This is about the ability to enjoy the great outdoors, whether you hike, bike, climb, canoe, swim, hunt, fish. Somewhere there's going to have to be a national discussion in the next few months between the Democratic and Republican nominee as to how important that is and what they believe can take place in a government that they would run that would ensure our future and make things better. Certainly in Illinois, in the last gubernatorial election we had, it was a big discussion area between Governor Quinn and now Governor Rauner, who was very, very solid on the future of conservation and outdoor recreation in Illinois. We need to have those kind of discussions on a national issue, and as we have them, we'll report them here on WGN. Thanks so much for being here this morning. I hope you've enjoyed the Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter, your host on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.